Welcome into episode 127 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Today we're talking about mission work. This is one I think we had requested twice on the Discord, and so make sure to join the Discord. If you have not, join the Discord because we do take suggestions. This is one of them.
I want to say, too, on that, I appreciate everybody's patience because we do kind of record a little bit ahead of time. Yeah. You might suggest something, and we might even say, hey, we'll get to that.
Great point, might
be a few weeks, we will get to it. So
no doubt. Yeah. The other thing, make sure you're checking out the merch. You know, we got multiple merch items. The cool Nikes, not as much, you know. We'll custom order you some if you want. They got the gym on the back, but that was just for me and Will. So if you want that, then we'll tell you how we did. But anyway.
The hats, the shirt, the gym bag, which mine is right over there. Yeah.
Yeah, water bottle.
Notebook. All kind of stuff.
And if there's something that you want that's not on there, hit us up. And if we can build it, we will. So anyway, make sure to check that out. That's always in the show notes. And make sure to join the Discord because, once again, we are trying to be active. We're going to be a little more active. We know we've been not quite as much. Will and I have talked about that. Been super busy heading into the summer, both of us, and so we're going to work on that a little bit more. But as we get into it, we're talking mission work today, and we've both been on several mission trips. That's where I met my wife, is on a mission trip.
Cool story for another time, by the way. He's got a great met my wife story.
Yeah, it's a good one. But I would say I was more on a mission to meet her rather than on a mission work campaign. That is bad. But yes, I've known dozens and dozens of missionaries.
Hey, it worked out. All things work together for good, right?
Romans 8:28, baby. Yeah, it worked out just fine. So yeah, we had a good time. But anyway, you and I have both known dozens of missionaries. You've been on several trips yourself, Jamaica. And did you go to Galapagos with your dads?
I've done Jamaica, Bahamas, the European ones. Yep. Those are the ones that stick out to me.
Been a couple times to Africa. And never went to Jamaica with you guys, and then a couple in Europe.
My brother, Reese, actually has been to quite a few more. He's done like Costa Rica, a lot of the South American.
We should have had him on. Good for him. So, anyway, we also know a lot of missionaries, so we're taking from some of their knowledge, some things that we've seen from them. Maybe we should have somebody represented on the show for this one. That's okay. These are just some ideas that, as we're getting into it, some things to think about, because we're not the experts when it comes to mission work. We're not the guys that are out there doing a ton of mission work. We just have some thoughts that we think might help if you are considering this line.
Well, I would say, I think for certain people in the church, I think young people for sure, there might be a little bit of guilt associated with, like, oh man, there's all these people out there doing mission work and going out and baptizing a ton of people and all these door knocking Bible studies, like, man, I haven't done any of that. And there's a guilt associated with that. And I want to say, like, I don't think that's all bad. Like, obviously, I think it's good to say, well, maybe I should be doing more for the kingdom. That's a very noble thought. Joe and I would, not to speak for him, we would contend maybe you shouldn't be quite as guilty as you think, as we'll get to here in a little bit. But I just wanted to speak to that. Like, I know a lot of young men specifically probably do feel guilty. I think that, I don't remember the comments exactly that got us to do this episode, but I know that is a sentiment that some young people share. Is like, man, I need to be doing more for the kingdom. Again, that's great. I really would applaud you. And I will say, Joe, before you kind of get into wherever you want to start, if you get the chance specifically pre-marriage to go on mission trips, I really would encourage it. Like, for the most part, you know, go on mission trips, even if they're short-term ones, which we'll get to in a bit, but like, It's an important opportunity. You were just talking about this at lunch, actually, that you really want to take your sons when they hit a certain age to, maybe not for mission trip, but just to see the other country, third world countries, and kind of like how good we have it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's valuable for those two reasons. One, you do, the first time I went to Jamaica, I was 10, and everybody thinks Jamaica is like this, you know, honeymoon location. Like, there's resorts, but for the most part, it is a dirt poor island. It is just destitute. And I remember being woken up to the fact, like, whoa, when I was 10 years old, like, these people don't have roofs over their head. Like, they're walking everywhere. You, like, don't know, can't define the word air conditioner. Like, I don't know. It woke little 10-year-old me up. So I think that's a big reason to go on one. And then, of course, the opportunities you get to spread the gospel, study with people, are just tremendously valuable to you. So I wanted to start with that. Like, I really would encourage you, pre-marriage and pre-kids, if you have the opportunity and you're like, should I not? Sure, go for it.
Is what I would say. Yeah. And I was going to say, that's kind of getting us into it, because we wanted to look at our thoughts, our general thoughts on this, but then we are going to talk about, should every man look to do it, and short-term versus long-term mission work, if you are thinking along these lines. Yeah. And so, you know, if you grew up in the church like us, chances are maybe you did go on a mission trip, or you certainly have financially supported missionaries. You maybe have had them in your home. You've seen the reports as they come to your church. You have reports, or they send out the email.
Most churches support a ton of missionaries.
Right. Yeah, so monetarily, you're probably fairly aware. If you didn't grow up in the church, maybe this might be brand new to you. But a lot of us, even if you're spiritually supporting them through prayer, I grew up going to Bear Valley in Denver. Bear Valley obviously has the Bible school there that I went to. They have Bible schools around the world. And so, yeah, my dad went and visited one in Tanzania and Ukraine, and they got some in Cambodia and all over the world. And I went and taught in the one in Ghana. And so we were very mission-focused at Bear Valley, and obviously with your dad and the work that he did, he was on a lot of mission work, yeah, or missionary campaigns of sorts. And so I think, once again, to reiterate Will's point, that is very, very valuable to be around missionaries, to be around that type of thing, to be able to go on those. But one thing I will say is the church, especially, what do you think, maybe 10, 15 years ago when Radical came in, David Platt with Radical, that was all the rage. Is, and some of you might remember, I know that this is speaking to 15 to 25 year olds, the 25 year olds for sure, those that
10 years ago, these 15 year olds were five.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't remember that. Yeah, you don't say. But for the other ones, maybe you were teen when Radical came out, and the big push was like, everybody has to be a missionary. You need to go just be a missionary and sell all that you have and go there. And
Crazy even, Love by Francis Chan, right, did not Francis directly Chan come out and say that, but that pretty much was
kind of close, because he did, right? I mean, he sold everything from Simi Valley, he was at like a 9,000 member church or whatever, heading that up, and then he left it all to go to Asia and kind of went into obscurity for a while. And you know what? There's a lot of that I think is very noble, very admirable, yep, that he was willing to do that. He went into complete obscurity. Nobody heard from him for like years or whatever, and then he came back and you know, wrote other books and such. But
there was a huge push for it.
Right.
Essentially, like, this is where I think a lot of the guilt came in. It's like, you are not a true Christian unless you are willing to go be a missionary.
Right.
And I think that is really what we want to talk about in this episode, because, not to speak for Joe again, we don't believe everybody should go be a missionary. And that was kind of, right, I actually never read Radical. It was always on my shelf. Still on my shelf. I have not. I probably will read it just because we talk about it in our podcast, and I kind of need to know what it says. I did read Crazy Love, and I remember that being just a huge push in the evangelical community. Kind of gave that idea that, hey, everybody should. Like, if you can't, okay, but you really should, type of thing. And I do think that's where a lot of this guilt came from. It was a big move. The movement's died down quite a bit, I would say.
We've talked about godly young man, I think, should have some type of mission experience. On the other hand, I don't think everybody needs to be a long-term missionary. I don't think that idea of moving halfway around the world, because if you really cared about God, of course, then you become a missionary. Like, it's a tough world. Like, being a missionary is a very, very tough job in a tough world. I don't think most people should become missionaries. I honestly think that's something you feel called to and something that you have to be...
Almost like a spiritual gift in a way?
Yes, you have to be very ready for this. When you think about it, like, it is not for the faint of heart. It can be very isolating. It can be depressing. It can be challenging. Who's out there to support you? Maybe you have some people back home. Obviously, you have people praying for you. But if you are one or just two families out there, sometimes you're out there for years, just you and the local church, and they don't understand. There's a barrier sometimes in language. There's a barrier in culture, for sure. So even if they do speak English, you still have this culture. It can be scary from time to time, where you're locked in a compound because people, you know, look to steal from you at night. It can be very shocking at times, the things that you see, the riots. I remember being in Ghana, and like, not very far north of us was Burkina Faso, and they're going through all of these, there was tons of riots and there was tons of everything going on, like this political unrest, and they basically are like, stay far away from there. Well, we were fairly close, especially some of the villages we were going up to, like, stay far away from there because this is really, really scary. I remember the second time we went, it was Ebola was going around.
And oh, my parents, I remember,
were like,
that.
Yeah, like, you cannot go. Like, I've already spent thousands of dollars. Sorry, guys, I'm going to go. And it wasn't in the region, and so I was perfectly fine. But it was kind of around the area, around Ghana, in that West Africa portion. These people are dealing with this all the time. I mean, my buddy that I was with had caught malaria once or twice. I mean, he lost a ton of weight. He was very, very sick in their hospitals. Very scary stuff. That's the life of the missionary. So we get these glimpses into the mission work. Wow, that's exciting. How cool. You know, you're getting to see another part of the world and work with people that are really excited for the gospel. Those are great. It's also really, really difficult work, and I don't think that part is sold quite as much to the guys that are looking to do this.
It's kind of like, this might be a weird analogy to make, but like, everybody looks at the quarterback of a football team and it's like, oh man, that sure must be nice. Like, you get all the praise, all the endorsements, you get to touch the ball all the time. Quarterbacks work harder than anybody else because you got to know the playbook. You're the leader of the team. Like, it's so difficult to be an NFL quarterback. Again, weird analogy. Similarly, like, people look at missionaries and it's like, man, that sure must be great. You just kind of live, you know, you're not tied down to anything. You're spreading the gospel, you're door knocking. That's what you do for a living, and it's great. And to Joe's point, like, we're not trying to denigrate that at all. You don't always see the side that Joe's talking about. So that's really important to bring up. Let's go ahead and get into, Joe, short-term versus long-term. So obviously, yep. Short-term mission trip or mission work would be you go on a campaign for 2 weeks. You go on a campaign for 1 week, or, you know, basically, I would say, not to put a definition on, but like 1 to 4 weeks, I would say. It would definitely be considered short-term.
If you're counting it in weeks, probably more on the short-term.
For sure. And then long-term is you're going over there for a year or two or longer. You're going to basically create a new life over there. There's homeschool families that I remember. That's what they did. They took their whole family, packed up, lived over there for years. So let's start with short term, the good and the bad. And really kind of the way that we're laying this episode out is not necessarily to encourage you or discourage you. It's just we want
things to think about.
Things to think about. We're laying out kind of the good, kind of the bad. Let's talk about the good for short term mission work, because that's what we've done. Neither Joe nor I have done anything long term. How long were you in Ghana for?
I think 2 to 3 weeks on both,
And I think for every single one of mine, it was 2 weeks or less. So we are familiar with the short-term mission work.
And the reason why we break it up real fast.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you're either going to commit for a long time or you are going to go for a short time. Most people are not going to be doing mission work for 3 to 6 months. And the reason why is that's too long to stay on like usual without really getting a full ton of support. It's too long to stay on that, but it's too short to make like the full change of, hey, I'm going to be here for a long time investing in the people. That's why we differentiate. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of like medium term mission works for a very specific reason. Like you're either in it and you are going to assimilate into the culture, or you're going to go over there, and that's why we're getting into the good here real fast. That's why we kept it on the short term, is like most people aren't going to go for 6 months because it doesn't really make sense. You're not there for long enough to assimilate, but you're there for too long to accomplish some of the good here. So go ahead and get us into the good.
Yeah, though. The good for short term is you are a huge encouragement to the local church there and the local missionaries that do spend more time there. So, you know, I remember going to Jamaica. It's the one that I remember the most fondly, because some of the other European ones were not quite, we'll get to that in a second, not the most strenuous mission trips. Jamaica was, man. Like, we were up early and working until, you know, end of the day. But one of the things I remember about it was the church there and worshiping there, having the gospel meeting every night, and, man, the support, the joy that the residents of Jamaica had to see this group come in, like, it really energized them. It kind of rejuvenated them a little bit, revitalized. I remember one of the things I remember the most is, you know, you have a gospel meeting here, sing a couple songs, speaker gets up there, right? They sang in Jamaica for 45 minutes to an hour before the speaker got up, which was my dad, to speak for 90 minutes, basically, is how long he was speaking for. They didn't care. They were there because they wanted to, first of all, they're in Jamaica. There's not a whole lot else to do. And, you know, it's not like the United States where there's all kinds of ways to entertain yourselves. But they sang for 45 to 60 minutes. And for us Americans, it was like, all right, time for the speaker to get up.
Yeah.
They were just so happy to be there, so happy to be singing with all these new voices, so happy to listen to the speaker. That was really encouraging. It was encouraging for me to see how encouraged they were. And so that's a huge pro in the pro column, huge benefit of short-term mission work, is you can just really do a lot to encourage the local preacher and the local congregation.
Because you think about the other thing for the encouraging the missionary. Guy's been over there for 6 months to a year. In some cases, he hasn't seen a white person in a year. You know, he hasn't seen anybody that speaks his language in 6 months. Like, that's really tough in some of these situations. That's really tough. Maybe not as much on Jamaica, quite as much. But yeah, it's really lonely. It's really isolating, as we talked about, for some of the long term. So on the short term, how cool is it that you get to bring his favorite candy that he hasn't seen? He hadn't been back to the States in a long time. Or you get to come with stories about something going on. Or he gets to talk about Trump and you know, what's taking place in America, because it still matters to him, and it doesn't mean a thing to anybody in Peru or anybody in, you know, in Africa or in Asia or wherever it may be. They don't really care all that much, but you care. And so he gets to be uplifted in those areas, and you get to come bearing gifts and stories and things like that and things that are similar. That's really cool. So never discount that. The other thing is, you already spoke to this earlier, you get a taste of how other people live. That is something I'm looking to do with my boys, is I want to, as part of their kind of coming into manhood, I want to take them on some sort of mission trip of sorts. I don't even know where exactly, but it's going to be a third world country. And the reason why is exactly to your point. Like, it's different. It makes you very appreciative to live in America for all the things that we have. It also makes you very heartbroken for all the things that you see around the world with people that are struggling, genuinely struggling. It gives you a different perspective. It gives you something to really, like, mentally
sink.
Perspective to sink your teeth into and go, man, this is really tough to be in this part of the world or to see the way that these people live. And yet they do it, and they're joyful, and they show up to church, and they're doing all these things. How much more can I do for God with everything that I've been given? So there's that piece as well. And then There's one more.
Yeah, learning how to study with other people. Not to just keep going to stories, but anecdotally, that's kind of what this episode is. I remember vividly when I was in Jamaica. I think this was the second time I went. I was probably 12 or so. And it was really cool. They basically split, you know, we had a group of, say, 20 people, and it was like 2 by 2. You're going with, and so they split me up for my dad. My dad went with somebody else. I went with another faithful Christian guy. It was really cool because we went into this study, and he basically was like, you go for it. You kick us off. Man. And so there I am at 12 years old, and I grew up in the church my whole life. I was baptized at that point. Had a pretty good, I wouldn't even say pretty good, had a decent level of knowledge of, you know, studying with somebody. And I pretty well led that study with this woman and walking her through the New Testament, walking her through, you know, why baptism was important and kind of the whole idea of the one church. And, you know, looking back, I probably did a lot of things wrong, like pretty poorly as a 12-year-old, but I vividly remember enjoying this idea of studying with these people and, like, people that had never seen this before, people who kind of loosely had an idea of Christianity, but there we were, got to kind of show them the text and show them the New Testament. That was definitely the fondest memories that I had of, like, I get to be a part of this. Yeah. I get to be a part of this person's exposure to the gospel for the first time. And you really do kind of learn, I don't know, like, you put your faith to the test. Like, you know, do I know the gospel? Do I not? Can I communicate this to somebody else or can I not? And that was really special. That's one of the things I really want to make sure that my, you know, to echo Joe, that my kids know how to do is, can you communicate your faith and the gospel to somebody else?
Right.
And that's what short-term mission work is.
And a lot of times they're excited to get the gospel.
Yeah, they want to learn.
You do not see that in America very often, where they do want to learn. They're willing to open it up. They're willing to work with you on mistakes, because we learn from, and we're combating the nasty atheists or whatever it may be sometimes that are just really mean. And they're waiting for every mistake. They're trying to do the gotcha moment.
They're already jaded towards religion.
And they're jaded toward religion, yeah. Exactly. They got a lot of negatives. And you people do this. They don't know any of that. They sometimes this is the first they're hearing about Christ, and so it's a really exciting thing to be able to share that for the first time. But there are some negatives, and I'm sure there are a lot more good, a lot more positives.
Those are the highlights, I would say.
But I would say those are kind of the highlights to short-term. But as far as it goes with the bad, there are some things that you have to think about when you go to short-term missions work. The first one is one that we both have experience in this. Okay, not every mission trip is created equal. They do very little work. Very little work. The one I met my wife on, let's be honest, I taught a couple Bible classes. I didn't even do particularly well, I don't think. One of them, I remember your dad, like, he went on for a long time, and then they did a ton of songs, and I looked down, and we were supposed to do a class at, like, noon to 1, and your dad finished up at 12:45, and I was like, okay, I don't have to do it. And they're like, well, what are you doing? You going to get up there? I don't know if you
remember
this in Bangor, Ireland. Yeah. And they're like, you going to get up
there?
Oh,
I do remember this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? And so I tried to rush an entire hour-long class into like 30 minutes or 20 minutes. It was a disaster. Horrible. And I'm trying to impress my newfound squeeze. We weren't quite there yet, but you know what I mean? I was trying to impress her, and it's like that.
Yeah, no wonder he didn't do a whole lot on this mission trip. A few other things he was
worried
about.
I had a couple things on my mind, but no, I mean, as far as it goes with this, cost a ton of money, thousands of dollars. Do I really think it was worth thousands of dollars for me to go on the trip? Yeah, I met my wife. But if it wasn't for that, no, it is not the same as the mission work where I went to Africa and taught in a school over there for a couple weeks and lived off of rice and beans and was taking showers literally by pouring water over myself because I didn't really have running water. I mean, there's a difference there. You feel a little more legitimate in the one.
The ones that I think of, Joe, and this is not to piggyback on your VBS take, but the ones that basically all you do is you put on a VBS for the kids, those don't seem super productive to me either. I went to one in Alaska. And, you know, we worked hard. Like, we set up a VBS and we did door knock for it. And so, you know, it wasn't all just, you know, glam mission as they call it, but we were sightseeing a good bit. And I don't know, it just, that and the Jamaica mission trip, very, very different. And so that's another thing that Joe's got on here is sometimes it can be a bit more of a vacation. I think of, that John Crist guy, one of his first videos that he got famous for was basically every short-term mission work ever. You'll have to look at it. It's hilarious where he's basically in the hospital, like, you know, day number one is going to be a rest day. Day number two is going to be a shopping day. Day number three, we'll finally start working. We're going to paint the school. Was it just painted last week by the mission team that was here before us? Absolutely, yes. Like, kind of poking fun at the idea, like, these aren't super helpful all the time. Unfortunately, he's got a point. Like, trying to be cynical. There are some of these shorter-term trips that are, let's face it, a little bit more vacation-esque, a little bit more like, I don't know. I don't want to be super cynical about it, but there is that reality to deal with.
I do have a problem with people taking, like, lots and lots of money it's one thing, like, okay, for your dad, he's going to go over there, he's going to speak a ton. For your family to get paid, probably pretty legitimate. For me to raise funds, because on the Ireland trip...
Did you raise funds for that one?
No. Oh, no, okay. My wife did, so...
Wow, shame on her.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, to do a bunch of... Actually, we got done with the trip, and she's like, I kind of feel bad that it took money for that. Like, we met, it all worked out.
It's a statute of limitations.
Everything works out for good, right?
That's right.
But, you see these people that will raise $3,000 from well-meaning people in the church, and the best thing you can come back with is the puppet show that you did. Like, you know, there is that, in my opinion, that's the vacation part of it. Costs a ton. Yes, it's a vacation, but you're taking somebody else's money to go on vacation and to get all the
feels a little slimy
with the little village kids and whatnot. And so you come back and everybody's, oh man, and it's like, and there's a part of it that everybody kind of winks and is like, okay, we really know what you're doing over there. I'm not a big fan of that.
At the end of the John Chris video, he goes, let's not forget our main objective, to take Facebook pictures with minority kids for our profile pictures.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly it.
Man, that hits close to home. That's pretty good.
The other piece, this last thing we'll say before we move to long term, is it can be staged. Yeah. In my opinion, I think it can be staged. And I've seen this where they wait to have all these baptisms lined up and you go over there and it's like, do, and you're dunking like 200 people in the water going, we had such a great turnout. A lot of times, and I happen to just know this because of the people that we've worked with and some of the long-term missionaries that are able to show behind the scenes, some of the people that do that, they missionaries or people ahead of time will study with them and then wait for the mission, the short-term missions where people show up. And so they can go back and boom, 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 we baptize all these people. The other thing is what I've heard is there are times where they will baptize the same person twice. The short-term people don't know that. And so this guy's been baptized 5 different times. Every single time somebody comes, it's just part of stage thing. Yeah. These things do take place. I know that's more of the cynical end. These are legitimate stories. These things do happen. And so
be aware of that. Yeah.
Be aware of it, that sometimes these things can be a little staged. The Bible studies, everything's set up ahead of time. Like, I would say if you're going to go for all the good reasons, to appreciate being in America, to appreciate the long-term mission work and things like that, and to really try to support people, view it from that perspective, not because you're going to go baptize 200 people. You're not doing that in 2 weeks. You didn't start.
And if you are, they're probably not sticking around. Like, they're probably not staying faithful.
Right, because you're not sticking around to keep them faithful and to be a disciple maker. Well, you just baptize 200 people and one or two families, missionary families, are there to try to disciple all of them. That can be really, really difficult. So I'm not saying that's a bad thing on the one hand, but on the other hand, there's a lot of people that, like, I remember that Freed study that they did where over the years, I think it was, I don't want to misquote this, but I think they looked over like a decade or 2 decades worth of mission work in India, and like half of India had been baptized. If you took the numbers and like 10,000 people were baptized, and they had these insane numbers, well, and they did it over like 2 decades.
That did not happen, yeah.
And it's like, where's everybody? You know, if you baptize half of India, where's everybody? So be aware of those things. But Will, get us into the long-term mission work.
Yeah, so again, long-term being, hey, you're going over there for a minimum of a year, probably longer.
You're committing to the work. You're trying to assimilate in the culture.
Living over there, assimilating the culture. Yeah, exactly. So the good. It feels more legitimate than just the week or two, again, semi-vacation, like we're just here for a short amount of time. Because you're literally going over there, again, to assimilate the culture, to live. You're trying to build trust with the locals. You are really committing to the work.
It's a mission work, not a mission vacation.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's a really, really positive aspect. Again, like, you're eating like they're eating. You're living like they're living. You are not temporarily going to, have to do without your iced lattes for a week or whatever it is. Like, you are completely going over there to live. And there's power in that. That is powerful because it is a serious commitment. Like, I do not want to denigrate that at all. You get to see, hopefully, the fruits of your labor a lot more, I would say. Joe kind of ties into your second one there of like, man, maybe you're working with somebody and it takes longer than 2 weeks. It might take a month, 2 months, but you get them there, you convert them, you baptize them, and then you get the next however long to disciple them. I love that word of like, you ain't just baptizing them and, all right, cool, who's next? Like, you are truly going to get to see the fruit of your labor, worship with this person, every single Sunday and Wednesday or whatever it is. I think that especially, like, you get to see, your work flourish and be fruitful, God giving the increase more so than go somewhere for a week, go back home, and then you're hearing about it from, secondhand from somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's the second point I had on here is, like, you get to see true change with open hearts. Shout out John Jones. He's now a preacher at McEwen. He was in New Zealand for a number of years as a missionary. Small church. He's not baptizing people in droves. Like, it was not a super lucrative in terms of, man, you baptized 20,000 people. Like, no. But what he had, he was really working on people's hearts and changing and getting into the local church, where it's like genuinely a family over there. So once again, not all long-term missions are created equal, like in terms of what you might see, like, oh man, we're always going to be baptizing a ton. Maybe that's not always the goal. Maybe the goal is to really establish a strong congregation in a particular area. That's really cool to see. Yeah. And then in others, you may be in Africa where you're getting to baptize a lot. And just talked to a guy went to Guyana, whatever it is, down in South America. And he went with a guy that has established several churches. There's like dozens of churches that this guy helped establish while down there. And so different parts of the island or different parts of the country have all of these churches from this guy that just diligently worked there. So sometimes it's establishing multiple congregations. Sometimes it's building up one that's really big. Sometimes it's, as John had, you know, 20, 30 members or whatever it is, but you are the guy that, man, you're in their lives consistently and you have really strong members and you're slowly working on bringing one or two at a time. It's just really cool to see the change in, no matter what the situation, of the open hearts and really putting into the work where you're there for the long term. You become the trusted individual in that area. They know what they can expect, and the locals know who you are at that point as well. So if they're, oh yeah, that's John, or oh yeah, that's, you know, whoever it may be, like, that's when you know you've arrived, when locals start recognizing you and you're no longer the white guy or whatever it is. Like, okay, you're the guy, and not in New Zealand, but like in other places,
sure,
you have assimilated to the point where people can now respect what you've done and what you are doing currently. Even if they don't follow, even if they're not going to the church, they can respect you and they know you are one of them. I think that to me is one of the best things about this long-term mission work, is it allows for the time to do that. One brief thought, I didn't have this on the list.
Go for it.
The other good thing about short-term, I was thinking about, somebody's going to mention this, all the little things that you get to build. I know that's in the his John Chris video, but like building local schools or building you know, villages for things in the village for people. That's another good part of. So just wanted to throw that in there for because I knew I was going to get somebody's like, well, what about if we go down there and we're building something? That's really cool too, when you can go
for sure,
genuinely help in short term. But as far as it goes, the other one is, you know, you're establishing, and then I'll let you get to the bad. You're establishing churches that will last longer than you. So you may not be there for 30 years, but you establish a church that will be there for 30 years or 50 years or 100 years or whatever. And so the legacy that you're creating as a long-term missionary is really cool.
Yeah.
You're solidifying a work that far past John's back here. He's in McEwen now down the road. But we know that the church is still going strong there with people that he baptized and people that he really helped in that area. Like, that's a legacy that is just incredible. So thank you to the long-term missionaries that are willing to do that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the bad. And I'm going to go ahead and say, like, I don't feel super comfortable speaking with this because I've never done this. And there are going to be people who very much have and can speak to it stronger,
sure,
but it's our podcast. So, you know, what we're going to do. The bad side of it, maybe the negative side of long-term mission work, is it is very tough with a family. And the only kind of anecdotal evidence that I have for that is it's really hard to raise a family here. Like, it is hard to work and, you know, raise a faithful family without the added layer, if you will, added element of we're in a completely foreign country, trying to educate your kids, like whatever it is. Again, I'm not super qualified to talk about it, but, you know, it's difficult for single people. It's difficult for a bachelor to go over there. And so adding a wife and kids to it, you know, does that mean that you shouldn't do something just because it's tough? Of course not. But it is, once again, something to consider, is that I am a firm believer that you as a man, your primary mission field is your family.
Yeah.
So if you decide, if you make the decision, like, I can faithfully disciple my family and also go be a long-term missionary, great, go for it. But if you think, if you are even have the slightest inclination that might be in doubt, that you'll be able to disciple your family, but you're going to go be a long-term missionary, I would advise against that. It's a similar, like, you know, with women, with moms, like, oh, I really need to go out there and door knock and do all this stuff. Your primary mission field is your kids before, yep, until they leave your house. It's the exact same thing with husbands. And so that's, to me, the most important thing for you to consider, is if you think you can faithfully disciple your family and be a long-term missionary, okay, then make that decision, go for it, more power to you. You have to come to grips with the fact that God is going to, it sounds sacrilegious to say, God is going to be more concerned with what you did with your kids than how many people you baptize in Africa. He just is, because he gave you your kids.
Right.
And so I think that is probably the most important point for us to talk about when it comes to long-term mission work, is can you still faithfully disciple your family?
Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, I wish that all men were as I, or, you know, that, yeah, that the idea is he's single and he can go do the work of God.
Because he says he who is not married thinks of the things of God. He who is married thinks of the things of his wife, basically.
Right, yeah. Right. So it's a lot easier to be single, as Paul was, and to go accomplish all of these things. So he's flat out admitting, like, it's really tough to do with a family. The reason I have this on here is, I'm not trying to disparage anybody, I've seen multiple families that had long-term missionaries, that were long-term missionaries with kids. It's just seemingly, from what I've seen, worked with some of the kids as well, it's a really tough place to be, especially for the kids. So the parents, they may assimilate, but the kids, you got to think about it. You're pulling them away from everything that they've known. You're pulling away from their kids or from other kids and their friends and such. It's just a really, really difficult thing for specifically the kids to feel isolated. Then you bring them back to America, and then maybe you go back and forth, and so they're getting just a taste of what they're missing. That can be really tough. Some kids, I'm not saying there aren't people that do it fantastic and good for them. On the other hand, I think it can be really, really tough with a family and really scary, too. The other things we have on here, it's incredibly isolating. Can be incredibly isolating. If you're not great at consistently making trips back, and that's really expensive, you got to have really good support. That can be really, really isolating, where you're there for 6 months to a year with hardly anybody. That's one of the reasons it's tough with a family. It's better with a family, I suppose, because at least you have each other, but it's also really tough with a family because you're very, very isolated. And that also goes to the third point we have, which is that it's tough to live on support. I know that's maybe people look at that like it's not that big a deal. In this day and age, having one or two, because I've seen this, know several missionaries, having one or two people that all of a sudden like, oh man, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to be able to support you anymore, like, we're relying on that. So you are now relying on, and I know everybody to some degree, I don't know. It's just really, really tough to think about relying on somebody else's support, that if they drop, you may have to return home and you may not have the money to get home. So what are you going to do? You have to start thinking about those things.
Yeah. And once again, like, we're not here saying just because it's tough means you shouldn't do it. We are laying out, just don't jump into it head first, going, oh, this is going to be great, without understanding these things. And again, I will stand behind my point. God wants you to care about your kids more than the people in Africa. And so if you can do both, great, then go for it. If you don't think you're going to have the capacity, because some people, man, especially if you have more kids, like, that's going to take up all your capacity to just raise those kids to faithfulness without, you know, adding on the burden of living, again, in a foreign country and trying to start a church and all those things. Really, really important work, just not at the expense of your family. Those are my final comments. Any other thoughts about this?
Again, we don't have any missionaries on here. We're not missionaries ourselves.
So we're not experts, yeah.
We're not experts, as Will already said very well. So we may have people that are missionaries that say, hey, wait a minute, you know, that's not fair at all. Please comment. You know, comment underneath on YouTube, or let us know in the Discord if we misrepresented or something that, you know, we go back and touch on maybe down the line. We'd love to. But yeah, these are our thoughts on it. As we said, just something to think about, you know, something to think about as we go, because neither of us are missionaries, but this was a request, and so we wanted to just give our thoughts on it. But yeah, Will, any other thoughts?
No, I would say stay tuned for the next 2 weeks are going to be fun.
Yeah.
We're doing a couple top 10 lists. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Top 10 things to do in your marriage and top 10 things not to do in your marriage. Haven't done anything marriage related lately, and so this has been on our list for a while and thought we might have a little fun with that one. So, I know all of the Godly Young Men typically like the episodes on marriage, because that's where your thoughts are, that's where your mind is, or what your mind is on often. And so, yeah, stay tuned for that next week. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
We'll wrap right there. This has been episode 127 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thanks so much.